give more than you get, reap less than you sow, listen more than you speak, realize more than you know, calm much more than agitate, question more than comply, hold yourself to higher standards, extinguish every lie.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Jen in Ajamis with me, Marvin Schneider, and the delightful Jen Ward.
Hi, babies.
Babies, what's going on?
Well, babies, you don't like it when I wake up in the middle of the night and cut my hair for no reason. We've discovered that.
Well, yeah.
But maybe I won't now. No, maybe that's one of the things you can stop me from doing, because I do some kind of behaviors that aren't productive sometimes. Maybe that's one of them.
Wow. Anyway, it's just part of who you are, babies.
Thank you, babies.
So the interesting thing is that most of the plushies have been transported from the US to Oz, and so I've got them all in and around the house at the moment, so you're kind of plushie free, but you've got a few other little friends. Do you want to introduce them quickly?
Babies, I didn't have any plushies here except this little one, and then the Marvin and the daddy Marvin and the little Marvins, his little boys in the other room. But then Michelle brought me over this little chipmunk, because you guys don't have chipmunks in that. And I used to have a bathrobe just like this. And so he's like really cozy and comfy and stuff. And then I realized, like, wait a minute. So this was the thing. And he's so cute. He's happy to be with me. I actually bought him in a garage sale about a year or so ago, 2 years ago. And I had been so filled up with plushies that I actually gave them to Michelle to keep. And then she says, you know, I do have a chipmunk. And then she brought him back for me to have. And he's so happy to be with me. But then I realized that you guys don't have squirrels over in Oz. So then I went online just to buy one little squirrel, baby. So just one little squirrel. And this one, he's named Butters. And I won't tell the bad story about Butters and like on the property and all the bad things. So I'm doing penance by like loving Butters. But then I realized, so when I went online to buy him, I realized that there's not only gray squirrels here, but I have red squirrels here. And so this is Acorn. And then I go, well, in Canada, they have black squirrels. So this is Pepper. And so... And what's cool about them, and then I accidentally ordered another red squirrel. So this is Acorn and Wally, short for Walnut, right? So they're all coming with me. And then they were getting hungry. They're just sitting there and chattering with each other and stuff. And I realized that they needed some acorns. So I had to buy their acorns for them. And what's really good about the acorns is, whoops, quit dropping your acorns. If you knew squirrels are really good at hiding their acorns, and a lot of their life is busy with their acorns. But these acorns are cool because they can carry them themselves. See?
That's so funny. So part of the whole sort of Aspie gig is that there's an attention span limit, right? So one of our standing jokes when Jen and I are chatting together is, you know, we're chatting away and then, oh, squirrel.
But babies, you do that too when I'm telling a story that you're not interested in. You start watching the news, it's suddenly so interesting and everything. But
no, babies, I'm always fixated on what you're talking about.
Ooh, is that sarcasm? I just figured out that you've been teasing me this whole time and I didn't realize it. And when we start talking, my nose starts itching for some reason.
Isn't that funny? When we're doing the taps in these group tapping sessions, my nose always gets really itchy for some reason.
Ooh, can we talk about that movie? or
we are going to talk about that movie, but before we do, can we talk about your experience in dedicating the last tapping session to a particular gentleman and then what you observed after that?
Oh, I forgot the name of this dude.
Ruskin.
No, Tommy Raskin. So what was interesting is on January 6th, we had done taps for to undo some of the trauma of people worrying about, you know, losing
social divisiveness, I think we call the tapping session.
Yeah, because we're not taking sides. We're at a higher vantage point and stuff. But one of the persons who really suffered that day, he had buried his son the day before. His name was Tommy Raskin.
Raskin, I think.
Yeah, and then Raspin or Raskin?
Not sure. Raskin.
All right. Well, anyways, Raskin. I think it's Raskin. Anyway, so So the day before the insurrection on January 6th, he buried his son in it. You could see just this heaviness and this sadness. And I had seen him before, and he's a good person. He's got higher intentions and everything. And there was such a sadness and a heaviness with him. And so I really had the strong, strong intention to dedicate the January 6th tapping session to him and his son. And then he was just on a news show today, and I saw him for the first time since that session, and he had his spark back. He had his happiness back, and it was like so wonderful to see that something was released from him. And I really do believe it was from our work and our intention on assisting in that way.
Yep.
So, yeah.
That's a pretty cool story. You often watch the news, you're looking for evidence of shifts, and you're doing research on issues that we need to do tapping on.
Yeah, and what's happened recently is like me and Therese have been watching movies and shows lately together, and what we've realized is that, she's another set of eyes because she sees stuff in the news more than I do about it, because I don't think that much of, you know, I'm so used to what I do that it doesn't seem like a big deal. This is just what I do all the time, right? I think of ways to heal all of humanity and just put the intentions out there and ascribe it to the parasympathetic nervous system and stretch my capacity to help more. And so, no big deal. I do that while I play with plushies and make bracelets for people to give out and other stuff, right? But Therese notices more. And so it's so funny, we'll be watching a show, a news show or something, and she'll just be starting bawling her eyes out. Can we talk about the movie yet, or should we wait?
This is the lead into the topic of today, which is the movie.
So I think we're just watching to entertain, but of course I'm always on, always doing energy and always on call, you know, and you can feel it. You can see when we talk for a couple minutes and then I pass out and I have to sleep, and I'm not lazy. It's just that I'm exhausted because I'm moving so much energy. So they're watching this movie. We're snowed in here, Northeast America. And so there's really nothing to do. So early in the morning, we're watching a movie, right? And I'm just looking over at Therese and she's bawling her eyes out. And the it's called Dark Waters. And the main character was on this crusade to help this farmer who was being poisoned by waters and everything. I won't give it away and everything, but his whole life, adult life, was a crusade to help this person. And he got demoralized. He got sick from it. He got turned on and everything. He got demoted and paid about four different times, and he just went through the ringer, but in the movie he stuck with it, and he still, as far as 2019, he's still working to bring justice to all these families who got sick and stuff and this chemicals that changed that poisoned the water. And actually now it's and seeped into all living matter and stuff.
Okay, so the hero in the movie, I haven't watched the movie yet. I'm going to watch it after we record this, Jen and the Jamies. But as I understand, the main hero in the movie was a whistleblower, a corporate whistleblower. Is that right?
And, well, he was a lawyer, though, too. He was a lawyer for the business, and then he used all the information that he got
right.
to help create a class action. So if that's a whistleblower, yes.
Well, that's, I would define that as a whistleblower.
Okay, but see, like, this is the thing about labels and stuff. That's great to call him a whistleblower. That tells you in a flash what he does, but everybody has their opinions of a whistleblower. So once you put out that title of whistleblower, you've lost some people and you've gained some people. Some people think of a whistleblower as negative, and some people think of a whistleblower as positive.
Okay, so let's not use the label, but I think we understand what we're talking about. But it is important that people do stand up for and crusade for issues. And so this movie was about a particular gentleman and presumably, you know, the issues that he went through living his personal crusade.
But, I love it when you say that, but.
What?
Does that sound like you? But. When you're passionate, I love your passion. So the thing is, well, do you remember the guy's first name?
No, well, I haven't watched the movie, baby.
Okay, wait, I got it right here, just a second. Let me find it, okay, because it's really important. I wrote an article about it, and I actually did some taps to help. And
all right, well, we'll talk about that in a second, but let's get the name.
Okay. Sorry, people. Uh-oh. I think it's Bilott. Toby Bilott. I hate people who aren't prepared when they talk. it was with Anne Hathaway, Mark Ruffalo, and I think his name was Toby Bilott.
Anyway.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so.
I wanted to kind of dedicate this to him because from watching that,
yeah.
I came up with, I haven't been writing taps all the time because we have so much out there and stuff, but there was a name of the chemical that was being used that was PODA, and it ended up being a contaminant now that's in 90% of all living matter, right? So from him doing his purpose, now this movie is doing it out there, so the actors who acted in it were doing their purpose and their and everything, and now we can take this and do our purpose. And I put together a bunch of taps for people to do if they want, and I'll put them on this YouTube thing for people to do.
So you're going to pin the taps in a comment below the video, all right? So yes. Those people that are watching this at home, if you're interested in doing the taps and helping seed and shift energy around this issue and issues like it, there'll be a set of taps.
Two things about it, which are important. Now, from one vantage point, you can demonize or victimize certain actors in the thing. But we take the overview of the situation, and we don't demonize any business, and we don't victimize anyone, because that's a lower state of consciousness. We do it from an overview vantage point where the businesses are just doing, you know, are getting derailed some way because of nefarious energies or whatever. So we're doing the taps without creating a them versus us mode of the businesses and the individuals. So that's a higher consciousness in itself. Am I saying that clear?
It's okay. I'm not sure why you're kind of going on this topic because I mean, we've done a lot of taps on social issues from a neutral vantage point. So I think you're just kind of reminding the listener of that, and that's fine. There is something else to be said about this, though, and it does connect with the work that you are doing, the work that I'm doing. And so, you know, here is an organization that is, you know, trying to do the right thing, creating, you know, various things. And then the thing is that after a little while, they get sort of their agenda gets hijacked and corrupted through greed, self-interest, money, various other things. And so this is part of the issue that I'm working on and you're helping me work on in transforming the global business and investment communities to create wealth. There's nothing wrong with creating wealth, but doing it in a way that enhances the well-being of all of society, including the environment. And so, you know, it's a really big issue. It's a really big agenda. And I really hope that people can help us get on board with this and create the tipping point or the circumstance where the work that I'm doing with the business and investment community can really start penetrating, because there's a lot of work to be done and we need a lot of assistance.
But there's do I always have this much trouble sitting still? Do you notice, baby?
I'm not sure. I haven't really noticed that much, but okay. It's okay. Don't worry about
it. I'm self-conscious now about the aspies and everything. But babies, I forgot my thought. Oh, it was a good one too.
Okay. So you wanted
I remembered it. Mm-hmm. It's about part of the process of speaking truth or coming to the cream flecks at the top. So becoming the creme de la creme of anything you do is to go through the phases. And the phases of going to the top are first, and you can, and anyone can get stuck at any one of these layers of being a victim or being the bully or being them versus us. And then there's another layer that comes before you get free of things is the mind. And so what it is a backwash of your own experiences coming in with the ego and trying to bat you down and not keep you from rising high. So some people who are working their purpose, and this happened in the movie, is this paranoia sets in because either there's an energetic antagonist, either it's like man-made or self-induced or whatever, but usually there's an antagonist inducing you to fear and paranoia on some level. And so when people come to me and they get these, I think it's actually a raise in consciousness where they think it's a defeatist thing, but it's like, no, this is the natural process and evolution of things. Keep moving through them because it's all illusion and keep going. Is that relative?
Yeah. There's something really to be said about the resilience of people that live their purpose. We've spoken about this before on Jen and Ajami's. There is a real blessing in when people can identify their purpose, because a lot of people haven't and can't and are lost in purpose. So there's something very liberating in identifying purpose and then living the purpose and enjoying the process of living the purpose. And I think you and I, we're lucky and blessed in a lot of ways, because you clearly have worked your purpose, and I think I have as well. And now our purposes are being sort of conjoined and we're pursuing them together, which is just, you know, a synergy. It's such a miracle.
It's a profound. And the thing is that what you have noticed in you living your purpose, you've been at the polarity of physicality, and where I've been living the purpose is in the energetic ways. So I have experiences with the cause and effect of trying to exist and survive and stay sane while working in energy. And yep. I can afford that to you. And there's things that you know about living in the physicality that you really help ground me and pull me back from the edge. So yeah. And it's really amazing. And, you know, I'm just in awe that you exist and that we met and that, you know, I'm just not this rogue freak out there on my own. Yep. So
do you know that we're coming very close to the 1-year anniversary of us beginning Jen and Ajami's?
No, babies. Do you know what the date is?
I don't. I'm going to have to go back through the time line, but it was early in January or February, so we're getting very close to it. We should definitely have a special Jen and Ajami's episode on the 1 year mm-hmm. anniversary. It's interesting. A lot of people get a lot of comfort from our conversations. And, you know, in the beginning, actually, let me go back to why I brought that up. In the beginning, the purpose of Jen and Ajami's was to demonstrate, and the premise was based on here's you, here's me, we're at opposite ends of a polarity on pretty much any and all dimensions you can ever, you know, ever point a finger at. And yet here we are collaborating, coming together and, you know, sharing a life's purpose. And then, you know, now sort of living together and getting married and all that kind of stuff. So,
you fell in love with me. You didn't want to. You hate what I do.
Well, look, yeah. So in the beginning, when we were doing Jen and Ajami's, every episode was trying to focus on a spiritual kind of, you know, insight or something that people can sort of lock onto, the listeners can lock onto and benefit from. And then more recently, you know, we were just having conversations, and sometimes they were silly. Sometimes we were just laughing our ass off. But, you know, it seems to be, you know, in one way or another, infectious. So that's great.
I remember the first time I accidentally called you baby on one of the podcasts, and you gave me the death stare. And it's like, you thought that would be the worst thing. And it's like, it's not like people aren't attuned at watch. They didn't. So a lot of people knew I loved you. They didn't know that you returned it. And it's so funny. I remember, you know, Kevin Moore, right? Who interviewed
him. Of course I know Kevin Moore. He's a great guy.
I know, he is a great guy. And I remember, like, when we did our interview together with him, we weren't technically a couple and stuff on the first one, and then we were, and he's like, no, that would never work, no. And then he saw us together, and it's like, maybe it does. Oh, okay, that makes sense. But here we are, and you got plushies of the yin yang in the house.
Yeah, I'm still getting used to that.
I know. Look at how exhausted you get when I taunt you with my energy.
Anyway, so what else do we want to say about the topic of dark waters?
Well, thank you for bringing that back to focus. See how good you are at taking me from and grounding me? You're so good at it, babies. Mm-hmm. The tasks that I put out for that, mm-hmm. are concentrated taps. And I don't know if everybody knows that these are possible. So we have four protocols that we pull from.
And before you go further, all of those protocols are available to be downloaded and used on your website. So genuinehealing.com. And I think there's a menu button on the top called protocols. So just work your way through it. Oh, yes,
it's also SFT. Handily in this book on page 38 going forward. And it's nice to have a hard copy of them like that, because there's this book is like a textbook for life. So if you start using it, you realize how much, like, it feels like a linear book, but then it's like you can, like, expand consciousness by going into this book.
Okay, so you've got four protocols. Did you want to just quickly, for those that are new to this, right, because not everyone's been following Jen and Ajami's from the beginning. So can you
there's the energetic cleanse, which you can do for yourself or as a surrogate for someone else with any person, place, thing, belief, anything that you can name, any problem or whatever. You can do the energetic cleanse with a negative thing and extract all your energy and all the weight from it, so it's
from not that person, place, thing, issue,
belief or issue, yes, whatever it is. Like, if you're prone to, like, dump on someone, like, say, I just don't feel good today, I just feel useless, then do the energetic cleanse on being useless or feeling useless, or
believing you're useless,
are all engrams of being or feeling you're useless. So right in there, it's just a whole nut of work you can do. And yes. all of just that, that's a whole nut you can do. So that's the energetic cleanse.
Yep.
And the possibilities in just that one are endless. And then there's a lot of people's favorites. I think this is your favorite, the peanut butter and jelly cleanse. So the peanut butter and jelly cleanse is for, imagine peanut butter and jelly got tired of being connected with each other and they just wanted to call it quits. Peanut butter wanted to go rogue and jelly was tired of having to be dominated by peanut butter. So this is the protocol that you can use for two people or two things and stuff. So if you wanted to do taps for someone else, like your daughter is with this dirt bag or something, you can put your daughter in the first blank and the dirt bag in the second one and remove their connection. Now people, the old paradigm is like, can I do this? I'm violating their psychic space. And I tune in with everything that I do and I put out there. You've seen me tune in real time and make sure we're not violating spiritual law. So what the adepts say about that is like, people are praying for these things. They're praying for help. And when people send out prayers, it's not going to this man in the sky, it's going out to the collective. And any one of us can pick up that prayer and answer it in any way. So imagine someone is broken down at the side of the road and they pray for help. Well, if someone stops and helps them, they're answering a prayer in real time. So that's kind of how, and so if your gifts are in energy like mine are, and yours are in business and energy, then that's how you answer the prayers is in energy. So what's good about that is my reach to answer prayers and intentions that need answering is, the scope is larger just because energy is far reaching. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm, better than anyone else or more equipped than anyone else. It just means that's where I've put my intention for so long. And I've ascribed that to my parasympathetic nervous system. But that's something that anyone can do if they want to do the tasks and can ascribe to their belief system. Does that make sense?
It does. And I'm going to get you to come back on the remaining protocols in a second. But for those that are interested, we have run and we continue to run a series of workshops where you are teaching people and helping people to become, more attuned to perceiving in energy and accessing direct knowingness and ascribing those capabilities to their parasympathetic nervous system. But it does take work and effort, right? So clearly you have spent a lot of your time and effort perfecting this capability and enhancing that capability. So let's come on back on. So we've done the energetic cleanse. That's one protocol. And when we say protocol, it's a series of standardized taps that have blank space that you can use the standardized tap and just fill in, what did you say, a person, a place, anything, a situation, a belief, anything.
That's a negative one, something you want to like get your energy back from. Because, I have this label of shaman and, and a shaman is just someone who moves energy. I mean, to me, and it's like, and I channel sounds and everything. But so what I'm using is my shaman superpower and gifting it to the people who do the taps. So I know how to move energy and I can feel when I do these taps, when I do this energy work, I can take energy from here and give it back to the person it was stolen from. So say someone was raped or someone was abused their whole life. And in a private session, this is basically what I'm doing. I'm going into that situation and all these engrams and all these people extracting all the energy that was robbed from this person from keeping them from being whole and giving it back to them. That's why, it's so dynamic to have one session with me because it is that dynamic to get all your energy back. But at the same time, I'm gracious enough, and I don't mean that to like, as like, and not in a narcissistic way, but it takes a special person to be able to gift their talents with everyone and not hoard them for themselves. Because we understand both, and you do the same thing in business. We both understand that that is the tipping point of humanity, when individuals get over themselves to like not try to get followers or be the grand poobah, but realize what they need to do is make more of than what they do possible in other beings, so that it flourishes.
So I'm going to bring you back onto topic, if that's okay. So we've talked about the energetic cleanse. We've talked about the peanut butter and jelly protocol. So the next one is expunging negativity. Can you quickly talk about that protocol?
Sure. So expunging negativity taps are, and I hate to even tell people what they are because then they get freaked out. They used to be called the exorcism taps because all they are doing is taking things that people, stagnant energy that has been personified. So you have the stagnant energy that's been moving around and stuff and picking up information. So it actually seems like it has a personality. It doesn't really have a personality. It just is, it's echoing what its understanding is. So it seems like it's demonic or a demon or whatever, stagnant energy. So, yeah. And so what we do is we teach people to treat it like just stagnant energy and just extract it. So there's energy matrices, which are the stagnant energy. And then there's complex energy matrices, which are entrenched in the body and people think they're being possessed. They're not. So we have a short protocol that gets all of that energy out and frees them without like having to have holy water and all these. Can I tell my little story about the watching that movie? Well, I was watching a movie about, like an exorcist movie, a knockoff of the exorcist movie. And this guy was saying all these things by the power of Jesus Christ. I go, wow, that's great. If that's your belief system, that Jesus Christ is that powerful. But what if you're not? That means that you can't be free of these things. And what it really makes sense is it's not the words and it's not the person. It's the belief system. You have to find something that's bigger than the fear. And to all these people in the movies, it's Jesus Christ and the Holy Water. But to us, those of us who have outgrown a persona, it's divine love itself. It's our own omnipotence. It's our own empowerment. And so you hold yourself to that big of a grasp of who you are, that these energies are lower than that and are easily swept away. It's just that.
Moved on.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's now, the expunging negativity.
No, but the one thing with that is the ego will not want to let go of that, because if you're not, the ego is at the same level as the mental realm. Now, if you get past that fear, that means you've overcome the ego, and the ego has lost its job. Yep. So and its importance. So the ego is going to do everything to keep you, to subjugate you from your empowerment and your omniscience, because then it's out of a job. So it's going to use mind to like and attacks, and it knows the ego is a part of you. So the ego knows everything that scares you, or in all of your lifetimes or your records, it knows what you're afraid of. It knows what you've been through. So it'll pull up the things that you're afraid of the most to do the most damage to keep you subjugated. And that's why it's so important to just like laugh at the fears, because they're just a gauge that you're getting somewhere instead of a reason to recoil.
Right. So that's the the expunging negativity protocol. And there's a fourth protocol.
Now the fourth protocol is different because it's the only one where you use it to manifest positive things. So I hate to tell people about the positive protocol because they'll skip all the negative protocols and go right to that one.
Okay, now can you tell the listener why? Because everyone wants abundance and they, you know, they want money, they want wealth, they want fame, they want, you know, whatever it is. So they're always wanting stuff. And in fact, you've written a book on manifesting abundance that is still, it's still in publication. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
We should edit it.
Look, we're going to edit all of the books, but it's just a job, baby. So we just need to find the time to do it all.
You're exhausted. I'm so
exhausted. I'm exhausted, yeah. So my point about this is, can you explain to the listener, please, why everyone is out there trying to manifest abundance? And there are lots of people that operate in the energetic realms that sort of work on manifesting abundance. And lots of people go to all sorts of, you know, workshops with, you know, abundance manifestors, and they get sort of all hyped up. But quite often it doesn't kind of stick or work. Can you explain why, please, and what people need to do about that?
Well, the reason is because they need to want to have abundance, and they say, oh, I do want this. I do want this. But through history and other ancestral DNA and everything, there've been times then they've been so poor that there's been a belief system implanted in a lot of people that money is evil, because you had the overlords or the ones in power who were doing bad things to them. So they in lots of past lives and stored in the ancestral DNA is the vow of poverty. It's like, I'm not going to be like that. I'm going to like renounce wealth, and I'm not going to do that. Right.
Yeah. And which is such an interesting concept. You know, I don't know how that came into sort of mainstream religious thought processes, that you need to renounce everything to be, you know, a saint.
Oh, do you want to know? Because as you're telling me, I see the engrams of how.
Cool.
It was during the Middle Ages,
yeah,
when the churches of the time wanted money to, so they told rich people, oh no, you need to give your money away to be whole and good to heaven. So they would induce people to give their funds to the church, whatever church it was.
Yep. There's another explanation that you gave me very early in our interactions. I don't know if you gave it to me or this is something that I realized, but so a lot of people that are trying to manifest abundance are just sort of shoving more energy into a vessel, yeah, which is full. So, yeah. And so the idea is that you need to empty the crud before you repack and refill and reshuffle the deck chairs to manifest that which you really want, which is part of your, you know, living your best life, part of your higher purpose.
I told you that, baby, it's because I used the Reiki example. Like people who do tremendous healing with Reiki, they're amazed at some people don't want it. They say, please don't do that to me. I don't want any of that Reiki healing and stuff. It's because they're so jammed up with stagnant energy. You have to pull out the stagnant energy so they can be free to accept the healing energy. And the same thing is true with their life experiences and their beliefs on every level. Your physical life, it's like hoarding. If you have too much junk in your life, you can't enjoy nice new things. If you have too many emotions, too much drama, you're not going to be able to enjoy like a peaceful, loving,
peace, serenity, the moment. I agree.
If you're just jammed up with all this trauma that happened in the past, you're not going to be able to get past it and just relax your atoms and create a peaceful life for yourself, because you're being bombarded at all times by these engrams that you don't realize that you're running on.
And what that says to me is that everyone, 7.9 billion people on the planet, will really benefit from a concentrated effort to move out all of the crud, so that their energy fields are available and open to, you know, repack and therefore experience all of the things that they really want. And they deserve, by the way.
Yes. So that's our natural state, is like, you know, that Zen thing to like You got to empty yourself to be full.
Mm-hmm.
So our natural state is joy, love, abundance, freedom, health, success, security, companionship, creativity, peace, everything wonderful. And it's like these little grains of these experiences that we go through are like the grains of sand that create the pearls. But so many people are focusing on the sand and building a little sand dune within their energy field because, oh, if this creates a pearl, then I want all these grains of sand. It doesn't work like that. You just need one irritant to like harvest all these experiences from.
All right. So we've talked about the, so that's the positive protocol. So you've described the four protocols. Now what you're going to explain to the listener is the power of the condensed version of these things, because each one of these protocols has 20, 30, 40 taps in it that, you know, mm-hmm. you then run through on any number of issues, right? And so it's quite a dedicated effort to go through those sequence of taps. So can you explain your innovation of the compressed
So what's interesting is I get just as tired by writing one of these tabs as you would doing a whole protocol. And people will find, like, in doing these tabs, if they're really exhausted and doing just one tab, it's because they're not doing one tab, they're doing the whole energetic cleanse of like the 40 taps in this one tap. I've concentrated, I'm like a zip drive. Is that what a zip drive is?
Compressed.
So compressed. We've compressed these so people could do more of them. And the tabs I wrote for the Dark Waters movie and that poison that's in 90% of all living atoms, I've compressed these tabs so that it's like really, really concentrated.
And so can you give the listener an example of the construction of one of these compressed taps?
Okay, so they're a little bit, you call it like, there's a lot of words and it's a little bit more convoluted, but the payoff is worth it because it's like one tap. So one of them on the list is, can I just read it to you?
Sure, but before you do, before you read the specifics, can you just give the listener an idea of how the compressed taps work, right? So we energetically complete, right? So can you just the mechanism of these compressed taps?
We energetically complete. Yeah. And for this one, I'm going to the PB&J protocol.
Yeah.
And so in the PB&J protocol, you put in two things. So what we're saying is we energetically complete the PB&J protocol between this and that.
Okay. And so in that one tap, and you're obviously three on the head, one on the chest, one on the abdomen. So, you know, so in that one tap, you're effectively doing 40 taps, the entire right. protocol.
Right.
And so hopefully the listener can now see and experience the power of the compressed versions of the tap. That's not to say that you should always do the compressed versions. I mean, my view is that sometimes the investment of the effort in doing, you know, the full protocol is worth it as well. But on these particular taps, you wanted to really concentrate them so that people can sort of put the intention out there in the collective.
Well, there's like 20 taps on this one. So if I was going to do all the protocols, that would have been, what's 20 times?
I don't know. Let's just say it's a couple of thousand taps and it would take them about a week to do, investing 1 or 2, maybe 3 hours a day.
And I was initially just putting them out to the goddesses. And when I mean goddesses, I mean the people who have committed to doing the taps for humanity. And whenever there's a new cause that like is opened up and revealed, they will do those taps as a dedication of helping humanity transcend. Now that what's interesting is every time I come up with new information and new taps, I think to myself, okay, this is the mother load. Once people do this one tap, it's all going to be over and everyone's going to transcend. And I've been doing that for years. I remember the first time I realized that in a private sessions that the client was literally, and I know how to use literally, I hate that word literally, and I keep using it. The client was literally creating them a hell for themselves. Because when you create your heaven, you create your hell from your belief systems. That's why advertisement is such a $1 billion, $1 trillion industry. It's trying to get you to believe less in yourself and more in them. So it's all programming. So if you can transcend that programming and conditioning, you can be empowered. But it's always an inside matter. You can't change someone unless they believe that you can do it. And that's why if someone doesn't, you know, get what I do, I don't waste any energy trying to convince them. It's like you can't, and they'll just fight you, and then you'll just be wasting energy going back and forth. It's not worth it.
But can you give us a couple of examples of some of the taps that you are going to pin to this YouTube episode?
We energetically, now PDOA is this toxin that's been poured into the ground, and now it's permeating the whole planet, 90%, if not more, of all living atoms. So we energetically complete the energetic cleanse for all PFOAs and all other man-made toxins as a surrogate for all atoms of life in all moments. It's a mouthful, babies. It is. I understand it. This next one is easier. This is the PB&J. We energetically complete the PB&J cleanse between all atoms of life and PFOAs in all moments. And then I broke that one down.
That's a nice succinct one. Yeah.
And then the next one, I just broke that. And then we energetically complete the PB&J cleanse between all atoms of life and all man-made toxins in all moments. Now, what's interesting to note is the more it's hard to say, the more tongue twisting it is, the more mistakes you make. That means it's important to get through because it's the ego. And there's a universal ego out there, not just an individual's ego, but the collective, the I that I am. All of that is the man-made, is the collective ego preventing humanity from transcending the mental realms. So the more people who do this and transcend individually, the more they make a pathway for all of humanity to transcend the universal ego.
All right. This has been quite a full Jen and Hajami session. So perhaps it might make sense to wind it down. But so there's a lot of information in this Jen and James. I hope people really stick with it and stay with, you know, the full episode.
Babies, these couldn't be real tales, could they?
No,
they feel fake, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want no real tales. Yep. But I wanted to ask you, were we going to like suggest doing a tapping session?
We might, but we'll advertise that through the mailing list and various other things. So let's just
But we don't want to ask anybody if they're interested to let us know.
No, we'll promote it via the MailChimp and our the mailing list and our other forums, so people can then sort of sign up for it, and we'll do it the way that we usually do it.
Okay, it'll be interesting for them to experience the concentrated tapping with me, because I think there's a strength in doing them with me, and I think if they try them on their alone, they'll be fine.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be easier to get through if I help and you help.
All right, great episode. Thank you, Bubsy. Thanks, you, listener. Bubsy. Thanks, chipmunks and squirrels.
Ruby, they have names: Butters, Pepper, Wally, Acorn, and Biscuit.
All right. Thank you so much. Really enjoyed your company and the company of the listeners. Please like, share, subscribe, comment. We always enjoy reading your comments and look forward to catching up with you next time. Bye for now.
Bye for now.